The following is a Hoop Bowl presentation.
What's up, Grizz Nation? Welcome to the show. I'm David. He is Isaac. This is Hoop Ball Grizz. We are with you after the Grizzlies lose the last game of the road trip, 120-96 to the Denver Nuggets. And it was pretty clear early on in this game that the Grizzlies just did not have the juice, man. They just kind of looked exhausted out there.
Yeah, I mean, you could tell pretty early on that they just didn't have the legs. Tough loss tonight, like you said, fall 120-96. You were hoping with this being the third matchup against the Nuggets, lost one that you felt like you let get away early in this road trip, lost in double overtime, then you lost the game that's back at FedEx Forum by 1 point. You were hoping that they could avoid the sweep here, man, but it was not to be. Nuggets got it done. Tough situation. I mean, back-to-back. Two hard-fought games against the Blazers. You had to travel tonight at altitude. To ask Grayson Allen about that after the game, and he said that you basically don't get used to it until you've been there 3 or 4 days. I mean, he said it's tough playing at altitude. You can imagine playing on the back-to-back with the energy they exerted the last two games against Portland. They had to come out there and play at the end of a seven-game road trip. That's pretty tough. And, again, you could see pretty early on. But I think – take a step back. If you look at this road trip, and you had told me before it started they were going to go 4-3, I'd be ecstatic. I mean, you kind of get caught up in the moment, and you look at the Clippers game and the first Nuggets game, games you felt like they should have won, and you can get very greedy and say they should have won 5 or 6 games on this trip. But, again, man, 4-3 I think is fantastic. And I think this team has put themselves in position to make a run here at the end of the season. So, I mean, I think at this point that's all you can ask for.
Yeah, I mean, it's – I would have loved to see them come into this game and win it, but, you know, what do you expect from them? And that's, you know, yeah, they're professional athletes, but, man, it's got to be tough. You know, hotels are nice and all, but when you go on vacation, I know when I go on vacation, by the time I get to that 6th or 7th day, yeah, I'm just ready to be home, man.
Yep.
It's nice to – it's nice to be away and kind of be mindless and not have to worry about anything and just kind of chill. But by that 6th or 7th day, I'm like, man, I just want my bed back. I want my bed and my couch, my TV. And so, you know, these guys, 13 days, 7 games, and then the Portland series, those two games were close. The Grizzlies really dominated that second game, but, you know, a ton of energy. They are always ready for the Trailblazers games, and the Blazers are always ready for the Grizzlies. So coming into this game, back-to-back, I thought that it was going to be tough. I had a lot of hope that they would be able to pull it off and get a win, but it just definitely was not to be tonight. Ja just really didn't get any help on the offensive end, man. They shot the ball awful from three. They were 4 for 32, good for 13% from three. You're not going to win many games like that.
Yeah. I mean, when you're shooting a basketball like that, you're not going to win many games. And, I mean, you just look at this game. And Morant, I mean, you look back at this road trip, and I think that's one positive, really positive. I mean, it's positive anyway. Go 4-3. I think that's really good. We just said here. But I think another positive is you take out of this is the play of Ja. I mean, throughout this road trip, I mean, he was aggressive, really took control of the offense. I mean, when they needed him, made big baskets, knocked down threes. I mean, did everything that you'd like to see from a young leader of your team. And I'm excited about his future. I mean, we kind of talked about earlier this season that he was kind of in a slump at times, wasn't playing as well as he did last year. But I think this stretch right here lately, I think he surpassed anything that he did last year with the numbers that he's been putting up. And, I mean, he looks like the guy that we thought he was. I was getting worried there for a little bit. He looks like he was struggling a little bit. Teams that kind of figured him out, and he was going to have to make some adjustments. But looks like he's made those adjustments, man. And he looked fantastic. 27 more points tonight, 6 rebounds, 6 assists. Still, man, 10 of 15 from the floor. Was over 4 from 3, but 7 of 9 from the free throw line. Played 30 minutes. So just another fantastic game tonight. But like you said, just didn't get a lot of help tonight. Looking down the box score, only 2 more guys in double figures. That's JV with 13. And BC off the bench with 10. So that's not a box score conducive for a victory for the Grizzlies. You can usually look at these box scores and tell how the Grizzlies played, and this is not one that looks like a Grizzlies win.
Yeah, definitely not. That was Jaren off the bench with 10. You were down one line too far. But, yeah, man, it's when you don't have any help, and that's to say that he doesn't have any help, it's kind of rough. You know, it was just a bad game. They just didn't shoot the ball well. JV had 13 points, but uncharacteristically had 3 rebounds. You know, it's just, I really think that the elevation and just this road trip got them tonight. The chalked up scheduled loss. I hate calling them like, I hate saying that. I hate even doing that because I'm like, man, no, don't go into any game thinking you're going to lose. If you go into the game thinking you're going to lose, it's over already before you ever even started. So, you know, move on. Here we go. Next game, they come back home, and they got who's Wednesday? Back to the Blazers.
Portland, yeah.
Yep. So we get a day off. Grizzlies get a day off tomorrow, and then back to Portland, or back against Portland on Wednesday. One thing that I liked in the post game, somebody asked Grayson, and I apologize, I don't remember who it was, but somebody asked him about Ja and, you know, his shooting as of late.
I think
and
it was Grayson, Evan Barnes.
Yeah, you're right. It was Evan. Yep, for sure. He said it just confidence, and he knows when he's going to shoot the ball. And that's, you know, Ja's been shooting. He said all year long that, hey, you know, I'm going to keep shooting. These guys are going to keep going under the screens. I'm going to keep shooting the shot. So he's confident. It's good that he has that confidence. They've been going in for him lately. Obviously, they didn't fall tonight. But, you know, you're going to have games like this. And here we are, man. Just a brutal loss. There was never a minute, really, that I felt like the Grizzlies were really in this game. Like, they're really going to win this game. I was never confident throughout the entire game.
Yeah, they were staying connected early, and I was like, man, I could just tell with the body language and the shots coming up short. You could tell they don't have the legs. I'm like, at some point, Denver's going to make a run, and they're going to pull away. They hung in there for a while. That run kind of came bridging the third and fourth quarters, and the floodgates opened in the fourth quarter, and you could just see it coming all game. They hung on a little bit longer than I thought they would. But, I mean, yeah, you could just kind of see this one coming all night. You just kind of look at the standings. Not a lot of help tonight. The Spurs able to beat the Wizards 146-143 in overtime. The Wizards had a lead in that one, but the Spurs ended up winning that one in overtime. The Pelicans knock off the Clippers 120-103. Now, the game, they might get some help here. The Kings are up 109-102 with a minute 43 left in that one over the Mavericks. So that would be a big help for the Grizzlies if the Kings could knock off that one. It looks like, unless they have some kind of collapse here, the Kings are going to go on to win this one. Well, I don't know. We're 104-109 now, so anytime you got Luka, the game's never over. We saw that game here in Memphis. We know his heroics and what he could do, so I better not speak too soon. But the Kings up by 5 with a little bit over a minute to go out in Sacramento. So that would be a big win for the standings for the Grizzlies if the Kings can pull that one off.
Yeah, and you know, we've said it before on the show, the Mavericks have made it clear, Mark Cuban and Luka Doncic both, they don't want to be in that 7. They don't want to be in the play-in. They want to be in the 6 seed. So, you know, they're not giving up, even though they're down. And it's not a big lead. It's a 5-point lead right now. They're still in that game. But they're playing till that final buzzer, man. So whoever's ahead of them, as Grizzly fans, we're rooting for the Kings right now. Even though they're a team that's behind us, they're not as big of a threat as the Mavericks are.
Yeah, no doubt. And you look at this one and you kind of look at what the Kings have coming up on Tuesday night. They're at Golden State. So that's kind of a catch-22 for the Grizzlies, I think. That's a tough one, man. Who would you root for in that one, man? I don't even know. That's really hard right now.
Man, I think Golden State's going to make it at this point. You know, I don't know. I'll be honest with you. If the Kings make it, I'm not scared of the Kings. They made moves at the deadline to, you know, show that they were trying to win, and it just hasn't panned out. I think that Luke Walton is just honestly not a good coach, and it's showing out there. There's too much talent. That Kings roster is a very talented roster. I think, you know, they fall along the same lines as that Pelicans roster, man. You know, that you've got De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield, Harrison Barnes. Rashawn Holmes is very underrated as a big man. You know, they've got a lot of talent on that team and just can't seem to scratch their way into the playoffs, and I don't get it.
Yeah, I agree with you wholeheartedly on Luke Walton. I don't think he's a good coach either, because I think that team is too talented to be, just like you said, with the Pelicans. I think this team should be a play-in level team. And for them to be outside of that window, I think you got to look at Luke Walton and kind of question his coaching ability when you just look at the players on that team. I mean, they have a lot of talent, just like the Pelicans. I mean, you got Buddy Hill, you got Halliburton, who's a really good rookie. I mean, Rashawn Holmes, Harrison Barnes. I mean, you have a lot of talent on that team. And again, I think for them to be below that play-in line has to go back to Luke Walton. I kind of feel the same way about Steve Kerr. We talked about that here on the show. I feel like you should be able to do more with that roster. I think he got credit for the championships that they won. And I think now you're kind of seeing what it's like when he has to coach him up. I always compare him to Popovich and see what Popovich is doing with that San Antonio team. And that San Antonio team is not as talented as that Golden State team. And you see what they're doing right now. There's no way that San Antonio team should be competing for the play-in, in my opinion. That's just a testament to Pop and how well he coaches. And I think Steve Kerr is getting kind of exposed right now. Now, Steph Curry is on a historic run right now, and he's carrying them to victories. But I think that's more about Steph than it is Steve Kerr.
Yep. Yeah, I hate that Curry even gets the credit for those wins, man. I understand that that's how it works, but I think that he is one of the more overrated coaches. There's some people that think that he's a good coach, and that's fine. I've been wrong many times before. I will probably be wrong many times after this, but he's just not. There's nothing that he does that impresses me. And I think that he's always had a great staff around him when he's winning those championships. And the rest of your staff makes a difference as well, man. And that's, yeah, I think you said it before. You know, you or I could have coached that team to a championship with, you know, four Hall of Famers, man. It's crazy to me that he gets that kind of credit.
Yeah, I mean, I totally agree with that. But to kind of change gears here real quick, I want to go back and talk about something that came up this morning. There was a conversation on Twitter about Brandon Clark and Xavier Tillman. Brandon Clark had a tremendous season last year. He was shooting something crazy, I think like 60-something percent from the field in the mid-range. And I think Peter Edmiston put out a stat this morning that said that he's only shooting like 31% from mid-range, which is kind of been his bread and butter, that little floater that he hits. He's only shooting 31% right now on that little floater. And Xavier Tillman, mid-range, is shooting like 60-plus percent. So the question becomes, now you look at this rotation. Xavier Tillman was out of the rotation tonight. But when you look at the two players, and I know this is not going to be popular. Like we talked last show about Tyus Jones, and we don't want people to think we're piling on, because I love Tyus. I just think Justice Winslow brings more value with what he's doing, and we'll talk about that in a second. But kind of the same in this situation, when I look at the two players and their body of work this season, I think I would play Xavier Tillman over Brandon Clark right now. And I mean, Brandon Clark is just hasn't looked right this year. I don't know if it's a nagging injury. I don't know if he's just been figured out by the league. I'm not sure what it is, but he's not knocking down that floater, missed a few of them tonight. He just doesn't seem like the same player he was last year. We've seen what X does. X brings a little bit more size. I think outside of athleticism, I think X beats him out, especially right now in probably every category. If you had a corner three-pointer right now and you told me I had X versus Brandon Clark, I'm going to go with X to make that shot. And I just think right now it's crazy to me that he's out of this rotation. I understand the numbers. I understand you got Jared back, JV's back in there. But I just think he's too good to be sitting on the bench right now. And again, Brandon Clark has struggled again tonight. I just feel like right now, Xavier Tillman is the better player.
Yeah, BC was 1-for-5 from the field tonight. I think it all goes back to the change in the shooting motion. They wanted to change his shooting motion. Somebody told me he needed to change his shooting motion for whatever reason. And he has just not looked good. I was not, you know, early in the season, there were a lot of people that were like just crapping on him. I'm like, you know, he's coming back off of an injury. He changed his shot. He doesn't have enough reps in. Let him get reps in and then let's see. And now here we are, you know, what, 60 something games into the season here, or close to 60 games into the season. And it's still kind of the same thing. He's not knocking down the shots, and that form may have not been exactly what they were looking for last year, but he was knocking the shots down. And it's crazy to me that that changed his ability to knock down that mid-range shot the way he was last season. Cause he was almost automatic. And I agree with you that Tillman should be in. He should be playing over Brandon Clark right now. Brandon had, he had five defensive stats tonight. I think it was 3 steals and 2 blocks or vice versa. I'm not saying that Brandon doesn't have anything to bring to the table, but right now there's definitely something going on. And, you know, maybe it's just a sophomore slump. He goes into this offseason, works on that shot, gets more reps in with it, and things look more natural next year. And we're not having this kind of conversation because Brandon's back to being Brandon. And then there's no doubt of who you're going to play. But right now, if you're playing to win games, it's hands down Xavier Tillman. Is that going to be the case? Is Brandon Clark going to move to the bench and get a coach's DNP, like a coach's decision DNP? Absolutely not. It will not happen. I will guarantee you that Brandon Clark will not get a DNP coach's decision. I wish I was wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but I really don't see that there's any way, shape, or form that Jenkins benches Brandon Clark. And I think there's, it's really a, it's a double-edged sword whenever it comes down to it, because if you bench him because X is out playing him right now, does that affect Brandon's psyche? Does it affect, you know, what effect long lasting or short term is it going to have on Brandon Clark if you decide to play somebody else over him coming off of the bench?
Yeah, I mean, and you go back to the beginning of the season, I mean, you could tell right off the bat that his shot was different. It looked funky, and for a minute it looked like it had gotten better, but now it's looking like it's kind of reverted back to what it was at the beginning of the season. I mean, that shot looks awful. I mean, I don't know. And I hate that, because it's like a lot of times when you mess with your shot like that, it could have a great effect, and it could also have an adverse effect where you can never recover from it, because you start thinking about it, it gets into you mentally, and you can't fix it. I kind of just wish they had left it alone, because again, I mean, with the percentages he was shooting last year, I think he was like number one at the power forward position in mid-range percentage, like field goal percentage last year. And I mean, he has, and now this year, I think he's at the bottom percentile, about bottom 20 percentile of shooting in the mid-range, which, I mean, that's a drastic drop-off. I mean, I know you talk about the sophomore slump and everything like that, but, man, something just hasn't been right with him. I was talking to Zane this morning, and he was talking about how last year people were saying that BC was better than Jaren. The only reason why Jaren was playing over him was politics, et cetera, et cetera, crazy stuff like that, and now a lot of people jumped off the train. I wouldn't have thought that we'd be sitting here talking about BC and Xavier Tillman here this late in the season, but I mean, because I mean, he was such a revelation for this team last year, and now you kind of look at that, and he struggled, man. And again, if you with the depth on this team and the talent that they have, I just look at the two guys, and I just feel like Tillman brings more to the team right now. And I don't want to pile on BC, like you said. Maybe he gets it together. Maybe he comes back next year, and we see the BC we saw year one. But this year, he just hasn't been that. It's been a struggle, and I just feel like that Xavier Tillman should be playing. I mean, he brings so much to the table. I mean, his defensive principles, his footwork, the way he plays. You've seen some of these games on his road trip. He's just been fantastic. And for him to fall completely out of rotation, I don't know what to say about it. I just think I understand the depth on his team, but they need to find a way to get him on the floor.
Yeah, you go back. I pull up Brandon's stats from last year. His free throw percentage last year was 76%. He's shooting 67% from the free throw line this year. And then his field goal percentage, he was 62% last year. He's at 52% this year. And he's worse from three. He was just under 36% from three last year. And he's under 30% from three this year. There's every part of it's regression. And he just, if you're playing him at the five, if you're playing Jaren at the five when he's coming off the bench, then okay, that's fine. Keep Jaren at the five. But if you're going to put Brandon playing the five, if it's Brandon or X all day long it's X for me. And that's, again, I hope at some point that we get last year's, you know, Brandon Clark. I hate to see a guy regress like this. I don't think that this is long term. And maybe, you know, who knows? Maybe last year was the best Brandon Clark that we're ever going to see. But I'm not ready to give up on him. Like, I'm not saying that at all. But it's something that the coaching staff really has to take a look at. It's really a tough call, though. I hate how much of a mental game it is. Do you risk it? Do you risk benching him? I don't know. Yeah. I don't have the answer to that. It's tough. I'm glad that I'm not in the seat that I have to make that call, because you saw what he could bring to the team last year. Super effective. Plenty of nights where, you know, he'd shoot 6, 7, 8 times and not miss a shot. It was crazy. And now this year, you know, he may shoot 6, 7, 8 times and, you know, be some of the worst shots of the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's a unique situation. I mean, there are not a lot of teams that have this particular situation. I mean, both teams, you have your starters and you look at a couple guys off the bench and then it drops off a cliff. And that's not the case with this team. I mean, this team legit has like 11 or 12 players that could be in a lot of rotations around the league. And like you said, man, Taylor Jenkins has some tough decisions to make. I mean, you look at the Winslow Tyus Jones thing. I mean, Tyus has been backup point guard for this team, and now he's getting garbage minutes as we saw tonight. But I do want to talk about Justice Winslow, and I asked him after the game how's the thigh feeling, how he's feeling out there. He said he's feeling great. That the point guard stuff. So he was asked about the point guard being on the ball. That Gavin Barnes asked him about that as well. Kind of talked about the fact that comes natural to him being on the basketball, but he did say that he wants to get more comfortable off the ball because he wants to play minutes alongside Ja. What did you think about that?
I like his confidence in the response. You know, I'm fine with it. There was not a lot of preparation. He said that Coach Jones came up to him before the second half of the first Denver game in this road trip, and he's like, "Hey, we're going to play you at point guard in the second half." And he was just like, "Okay, you know, stay ready so you don't have to get ready." I think is something he said in there, and that's great. You know, his health getting back into the rhythm. You know, he mentioned that. I still say it's too early to really be as hard as some of the fans are being on him because of the amount of time that he's been off. And I hate that I keep saying that, but it's just the fact of the situation. You go 2 years basically without playing in the league against the best players in the world. There's going to be some time to catch up. And tonight he looked great. I thought that he played very well. You know, I had a couple good defensive plays. He looks like, what was he, 2 for 2, 0 for 2 from three, made both of his free throws. He was only 2 for 6 from the field. But again, you know, high percentages, that's not, you know, he's not going to bring that to the table. He made more than one pass tonight to
get passes.
People open, you know, and that was, there was one long pass. Jaren grabbed the rebound and Dylan sprinted up the floor
for the dunk.
And he threaded the needle. Boom. There was a dunk. And then there were a couple, there was one to JV that he made. That was a nasty pass.
Yeah.
He passed JV open.
The corner.
Yeah. You know, that's just a few examples and a very small sample of what he can bring to this team.
I mean, yeah. And the thing about it is I don't even think he's 100% right yet. I think you see these flashes and you saw those three passes in particular we talked about. He also had 4 rebounds, 4 assists, and 2 blocks. Made some great defensive plays, some one-on-one defensive plays. I mean, he just brings a different dynamic than Tyus does. With his size, he just does things out there that Tyus can't do. And I just don't think the offense of Tyus, like a lot of people try to bring up, outweighs what Justice Winslow potentially brings to the table. And I've talked about this front office, and they've done great in every category except injuries, the way they kind of handle injuries. I've kind of talked about that, and I feel like it's kind of weird how they've done that. But they're playing Justice Winslow, and a lot of people don't understand the reason that they're doing this is this is a developmental season, and Tyus may be the best player right now. I mean, that might be the case for this season, but you got to find out what you have in Justice, and this is that's what they're doing. It's an evaluation period, and a lot of fans might not like that, but I think it's the right move in this situation. I actually agree with them in the developmental vein in this, because I just think if he could continue to play the way he did the last couple of games, I think he deserves that. It's not even just a developmental thing. If he does brings what he's brought in the last couple of games, I think he deserves those minutes over Tyus, because I just think defensively they're just going to be better with him in there. Rebounds that Tyus are not going to get, he's going to grab. Their hustle plays that he's going to make that Tyus is not going to make. And again, he's going to hit a shot every now and then, slash to the basket, get a layup. I think it the overall package just helps this team more than what Tyus is going to bring on most nights. And he's not going to make the same decision, smart decision. He's going to turn the ball over more, but it's just a different kind of player. I mean, it's, and that's the thing about it. But I think when you weigh who helps the team more, if he's the Justice Winslow we saw last two games, I think it's him.
Yeah. And, you know, he was very close, just a couple rolls away from being double-digit scoring tonight.
Yeah.
There were a couple times he got to the rim and it just didn't fall for him. That, you know, just a few rolls away from being, you know, 10-4-4. That's a pretty solid line from a backup point guard, man. And that's not even adding in to what he done on the defensive end. You couldn't have said it any better. That they are trying. We know what Tyus is. We know that Tyus is a great floor general. He's not going to turn the ball over. Very smart player. The Grizzlies have seen enough of Tyus Jones to know what they have in Tyus Jones. They've got to find out what they've got in Justice Winslow. I think a lot of people are going to be disappointed when they pick up. I've seen a number of different people saying, oh, they're not picking it up. There's no way they're picking it up. It's not happening. There's going to be a lot of disappointed people whenever they do indeed pick up this option next year. And it's not because I think Justice Winslow is a $20 million player. I don't think that at all. But I just, there's too much value there to let walk away.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, they're definitely going to be a lot of disappointed people, because, I mean, I see people all over Twitter, all over social media saying there's no way they're going to pick this option up. They're not going to pick it up. And I keep telling them the chance of them not picking that option up are probably less than 1%. I mean, unless something goes wrong, he gets injured again, has some major injury or something here before the season goes on, they're going to pick up that option. And we've talked about the reasons why. Not only is this an experiment that's not finished, I mean, you think that you can get more out of them, it's the contract situation. I mean, you want that expired money in case you decide to make a deal at the deadline next year. That could be a valuable contract for you. So, I mean, they're going to pick up that option. And, again, a lot of people are going to be disappointed about it. But just get ready, like you said, because they're definitely going to pick it up. But the game has gone final, man. 113-108, the Sacramento Kings get the victory over Dallas. So the Grizzlies are now – they're still in eight. They're two games behind Dallas for six, one game behind Portland for seven. Tied with San Antonio for ninth, but they have a tiebreaker, so technically they're ahead of San Antonio. But half a game up on 10th place Golden State, and they are 4.5 up on New Orleans, and it'll be 6.5 up on Sacramento. So Sacramento is probably about out of it. New Orleans is probably out of it, barring some major collapse by some of the teams above them. And I, with the Grizzlies' schedule, I can't. Right now, I think it's about a 99% chance that the Grizzlies are in the play-in in some capacity. It would take a pretty epic collapse for them to fall below 10 right now.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. Anything is possible, but there are too many games at the end of the season that they should win for them to fall out of this play-in. So, man, I've got nothing else on tonight. I'm not going to beat them up too bad. It was a rough game.
Man. Yeah.
You know, big road trip back to back, going back into Denver, just brutal scheduling by the NBA. I think a better look would have been if they played two in a row against Denver, they stayed in Denver like they done.
Yeah.
With that, you know,
yeah, that would have made much more sense.
you know, are due. So you do your back to back there with Portland, the way they done what Friday, Sunday in Portland. So they could have done Wednesday, Friday in Denver, and then had Saturday off, and then played Sunday, Monday back to back against Portland in Portland. And it would have been significantly better. I don't know what the Nuggets schedule or Portland schedule look like. There's a reason that it went down this way, but it just schedule lost. So not going to rough these guys up a whole lot. Still in a good position. And actually, I've got something else. You were talking about the money with Justice Winslow. Some of these same guys that I'm seeing talk about, they're not, I can't believe that they would even think about picking up that option, or there's no way they're picking up that option. These guys are the same ones that are hitting the trade machine trying to bring a big name in. And I got to let you guys know something. In order for them to make a trade to bring a big name in, they have to have salary money to do it.
Yeah.
You can't just be like, oh, hey, send me Buddy Hield or send me Bradley Beal. You have to have salary to match it. So if nothing else, they have to keep him just because of that reason. And that sounds crazy. I think what Justice is 25. He's still young enough that he can be a core part of this team. And I think that he's shown in these last two games what he can bring to the table. Is he top level best Justice Winslow we're going to see? No, I don't think we're even close to seeing the best version of Justice Winslow. I don't even know that we get the best version of Justice Winslow this season. And that's crazy to say, but I just don't think that he's going to have enough games played.
Yeah, I agree. But you see these flashes of what he can be, and I can envision him and his offense. If he's 100% healthy, what he could bring to this team. I mean, that dynamic of a guy that size, what he can do on the defensive end. You can put him on a basketball. I mean, you saw the passes that he made tonight, that things that he can do, the way that he can slash to the basket. We haven't even touched the surface. I keep telling people that this guy has been out of basketball for almost 2 years. I mean, you have to understand that. I mean, you're not going to just step back in, especially for a guy that's never really been a high-level offensive player. I mean, it's going to take time. Even said in the postgame tonight that he's nowhere near where he wants to be offensively, especially. I mean, he's still working his way back in and trying to find his way. And I don't know if we'll ever see that version this season. But, I mean, if he could stay healthy, have a good offseason where he's not rehabbing, where he's working on his game, have a full training camp, and come back next year, I mean, that's you can't let that go. You have to let that play out, and then on top of that, you have the contract and salary issue. I mean, they're going to pick up the option. I mean, that's it. I mean, I don't know what else to say. I keep trying to tell people that, and they're like, well, we'll see. I don't think they're going to pick it up, man. They're going to pick up that option.
Yeah. Yep. That's I'll be here to point out that we were right whenever we are right.
I hope it doesn't turn out to like the DB Fallon thing. I mean, like every since we said that, man, every game, he's pretty much been in foul trouble ever since we said that. And he had done good all year until we said that, man. So, again, yeah, man.
He done well in the Portland game. He had that last Portland game. I don't think he had a foul. Yeah, he played the whole game without a foul. So, we'll get out of here, guys. Final score of the game again. It was 120 Denver, 96 Grizzlies. Grizzlies fall to 31-29 on the season. Still two games above 500. Setting solidly in the 8th seed. And if they didn't have this play-in tournament, they would be in really good shape just to be straight in the playoffs. But here we are. So we appreciate you guys listening. You can get the show on Twitter at HoopBallGrizz. I'm at DWill2111. Isaac, I didn't even ask you if you had anything else, man. I'm just rolling to the close. You got anything else?
Yeah, real quick, man. Portland will be on the back-to-back Wednesday night. They got a tough one at Indiana on Tuesday night. Indiana, another team who's fighting for their play-in lives on the Eastern Conference side. So they're going to come in on the back-to-back. And big opportunity for the Grizzlies, man, to sweep the Blazers, man. I never thought when we kind of looked at these three games that they would be talking about a sweep going in Wednesday night. I thought they could get two of three. But the fact that they got them back on the home floor, man, I'm really excited about this opportunity for them. And Ja kind of made a call to the fans and say they could have 3,500 in there. He said they need everyone, 3,500 people in there to support them down the stretch, man. So Grizz Nation, get out there and support these guys. They need to. They're trying to make a push, and I think they got an opportunity to put some wins together. But you can find me on Twitter at Isaac_Rivals. We got to get out of here, man, for David, I've been Isaac, and until we'll talk to you on Wednesday night. Until then, go Greek.
This has been a Hoop Bowl presentation.